Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Where you got two games left to play and they actually count on the Monday, where our guys don't have to travel and play that extra day. I want that competitive advantage. We paid for it. We earned it.
Do you hear that? What is that?
That's a little Brewers buzz. That's what it is. Stay open.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
So much to do, so little time to get you there. Till 9 o'clock, you've got Eric Bilstad, Vince Petrano here with you, Greg Pancake Hill producing the program. Debbie Lozica will take us through traffic till the top of the hour, and Adam Roberts in the newsroom. Remember, if there's anything you missed, and we've had a stack show already, you can get the podcast delivered right to your phone. Text Vince to 855-616-1620 or check out our podcast page on any of our digital platforms. All right, that takes care of that. Happening within the hour, this meeting that was on, then it was off. Now it appears back on. Former President Donald Trump is set to host President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, at Trump Tower in New York.
Now, the former president says it was at Zelensky's request that the Ukrainian president reached out and said, hey, I'd really like to sit down with you.
You want to hear from him? This is former President Trump speaking about the meeting that, again, earlier this week, it was assumed that he was going to meet with him. And then there was this report that the meeting was off. And we'll get into why that might be. But now the meeting back on. Here's the former president talking with folks at Trump Tower yesterday.
As you know, President Zelensky has asked to meet with me, and I will be meeting with him tomorrow morning at around 9:45 in Trump Tower. And it's a shame what's happening in Ukraine.
So 9:45 their time, 8:45 our time. All indications are that the meeting is on.
So does he have to, like, sign the clipboard with the little pen that's on the chain there that says when you're arriving, who you're there to see, who you're with, Ukraine? You write that in the
nation of Ukraine. No, I think these high profile folks get right up to the top. There's an entryway for them. Be an interesting meeting. These two world leaders are increasingly critical of one another.
Yeah.
This was former President Trump on the campaign trail this week.
I think Zelensky's the greatest salesman in history. Every time he comes into the country, he walks away with $60 billion. Billion!
Zelensky, for his part this week, saying that former President Trump doesn't understand what it will take to reach peace in Eastern Europe between he and Russia, that he doesn't get what that's going to be. And I think it's fair of the former president then to ask Zelensky, okay, what does winning the war look like to you? What does that mean? And I think it's fair of President Zelensky to ask former President Trump, if you're elected, like, what can I expect from you? Are you in favor of Russia? Do you want to allow Russia to continue to go over borders, cause all this trouble? You're going to reward them for that? You expect me to give up land and territory where my people still live and just cede that to Russia? So interesting conversation afoot, right?
Oh, to be a fly on the wall.
That's what you said. All this happening is the president, former president, is due here in Wisconsin tomorrow. I think this is interesting as well. We've been reporting today in the news. New information about that visit is that former President Trump, and this, I raised my eyebrows when we first found out that this rally was going to be in at the Prairie du Chien Arts Center. So the president wants to visit Southwest Wisconsin. That would be Wisconsin's third congressional district, largely viewed as a swing district, right? It was, at least in terms of congressional representation, it was Democrat for many, many years. Ron Kind had that office. And then Derek Van Orden won the election this last time around just 2 years ago. So it swung back to Republicans. But that's considered a battleground within this battleground, Southwest Wisconsin. So Prairie du Chien makes sense. But why the Arts Center? Well, it's apparently a security issue.
Trump facing a change of plans this weekend. Sources say the Secret Service told the campaign that agents do not have the manpower to secure an outdoor rally in Wisconsin, recommending an indoor event instead. Manpower stretched thin by events at the UN in New York this week.
ABC's Perry Russum reporting there. The venue, Eric and I were online just trying to see, what is this place? Kind of looks like a high school auditorium.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Like a nice one. But yeah, maybe 1,000 people.
Like a Sharon Lynn Wilson Center type
sure,
of place.
Right. So big stage and then the seating that goes up like in an auditorium. Definitely not the venue that the former president wants. He likes huge rallies and he likes to brag about how many people come to his rallies. So apparently he wanted to have it at an airport situation, which you see from time to time. They fly into an airport and they don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to motorcade anywhere. And there's a lot of room. He wanted to do that. And the Secret Service said, we can't help you. Like that's, it's too big. It's too hard to secure that perimeter.
In that report, you said it was because of festivities and things taking place in New York. Those things are the United Nations. We have a lot of world leaders in town this week.
Yeah, this is what's going on in New York. Massive protests now. Not only you have the UN General Assembly, so all of those dignitaries who are in town, but in particular today. So again, later today in Manhattan, Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. Yeah. He's there. So these protesters have been taking to the streets. There are worries about violence as pro-Israel demonstrators have also been out. Will these two clash? And then how do you keep Prime Minister Netanyahu safe, anyone around him safe as well? And some of that purview falls under the Secret Service detail. So that is set today. Meanwhile, in terms of what's going on with Israel, what are we going to hear from Prime Minister Netanyahu today? Israel apparently rejecting international calls for a ceasefire, most recently about to the north of Israel in Lebanon, but also in Gaza.
I think it's fair to say growing fears here that far worse is yet to come. That Netanyahu statement's almost immediately pouring cold water on the Biden administration's the EU ceasefire plan. Just in case you are any doubt about the Israeli position, the Israeli foreign minister just tweeting there will be no ceasefire in the north.
That's ABC News chief foreign correspondent Ian Pinnell in Beirut.
So that takes place while the vice president then heads to Arizona, where she's going to visit the U.S.-Mexico border. So a lot going on a Friday.
I wonder, are there side meetings also to be had for Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Oh, for sure.
His relationship somewhat strained with the former president, despite what Secretary of Defense Antony Blinken, Secretary of State Antony Blinken had said. Well, they got some differing views on things. There's a huge chasm.
They've known between each other, their ideology. Though. They've known each other a long time.
40 years, Blinken said. These guys, they know each other. So is there a meeting to be had there? Would he meet with former President Trump, who said, like, this wouldn't be happening if I were president?
Can I ask?
You can ask whatever you want.
Not to change gears just slightly, but given all the dignitaries, all the world leaders, all the VIPs, newsmakers, etc., that are in the UN, excuse me, that are at the United Nations this week, where do they all stay?
You can't get off this. Eric has been talking about this all week. Like, he wants to know the lodging for all the folks.
I'm assuming that Netanyahu's got, I'm sure he's taken care of. He's in a really nice place. But, like some of these larger, more powerful countries, those guys and gals are taken care of, but not every country is that big. Not
you would think
every
he's
country.
The kind that gets a floor on a hotel somewhere, right? For security
floor,
purposes
maybe
and things.
Maybe even
right.
Two floors, okay. Given how many people are traveling with them. But like, not everyone gets that. Are other ones just like at a...
What about Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
What do they have?
Like, where are they at?
I don't know.
Are they sharing elevators with, the Johnsons from Dayton, Ohio, who are traveling to New York City this week?
I tell you what, that's the thing about Manhattan that's pretty amazing is, when we drop my daughter off for school, we're staying at a hotel. The U.S. Open tennis tournament is going on. I'm not equating U.S. Open players with world leaders and dignitaries, but by that token, like there were players staying in our hotel. We weren't in some we weren't at the Waldorf.
Right.
We were at just a plain old hotel in Manhattan for $10 million a night or whatever it is. But the guy getting off with his Wilson bag with 38 rackets and whatever, and he hops in a courtesy car over to the U.S.
He's
Open.
Carrying his bag?
Yeah. Like, that guy's staying here. So this guy's, I'm here dropping off a kid at college. This guy's here about to play in the United States Open.
So he's the one, calling the front desk because the ice machine isn't working. Yeah. He's doing the same stuff.
I'm on floor 7, the ice machine is down again. I twisted my ankle today.
I could really use a couple of more towels.
So to your point, people all, this is New York. Do this all the time. No worries.
Interesting.
But it does present, yes, to your point, a real challenge for the U.S. Secret Service. I'm not minimizing that nor questioning that that's actually what's going on. I will say this. If you have a candidate for president, and maybe you like President Donald Trump, former President Trump, maybe you don't, whatever, but you can count on him, if things don't go his way on November 5th, to hearken back to some of this and saying, I wanted to hold huge rallies. They wouldn't let me. This is the Biden Secret Service. They wouldn't let me hold the rallies. And you have a candidate who's saying, I want to campaign in this way, and I am not being accommodated. And maybe you buy into that or maybe you don't. But either way, you will hear that if it doesn't go right for Trump on November 5th. 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
And Stebbins is ready and delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. They win. Jake Bowers hit an absolute bullet. Pass Harper at first. Jackson Churio scores the winner. And they're chasing Jake Bowers into center field. They finally caught him. And the celebration now is the game. Mama
said, let's go.
Final weekend of the regular season is upon us.
This much we know this morning. A little bit of clarity for the Brewers playoff picture. We do know that we're going to be in that wild card round. So yes. The Brewers are division champions. But the division champion with among the three, I don't want to say the worst record, but that is the third place record among the three division champions, ends up in that wild card round. So we're the division champs, but we will host one of the three other qualifying wild card teams, which means a best of three series
right.
at American Family Field, which starts Tuesday.
And it sounds like we had Rick Schlesinger on, and he says they won't know times until Sunday, but he was speculating a likely late afternoon, super early evening start time. That was his speculation.
Right, that we're not going to be the 8:30 game,
that
8:30
night, right.
p.m. But MLB can do whatever they want, but right, we have to find out who we're playing.
Here's what's so interesting about this. We may not know who we're playing until Monday night if everything goes a certain way. So they play the Mets this weekend. The Mets and Braves have to play a doubleheader on Monday. Maybe.
Because they got rained out this week.
Yes. And here's why there's a maybe there. If they're not playing to determine who's actually in the playoffs and they're just playing for seeding, then they may skip those games. And they would just figure out a different factor to say, okay, you go to San Diego and you go to Milwaukee. That's how they would figure it out if these games don't mean anything on Monday.
And that we're hearing from Major League Baseball, right? That's the assumption that the commissioner would just say, all right,
yes.
These games, they don't matter that much.
So, and the Brewers aren't happy about that. The Athletic, Athletic has this. If the Mets and Braves play two fewer games, because they, you know, that's two games not played on Monday. That's 18 fewer innings their pitchers must throw, 18 fewer innings their hitters must play. A small thing, perhaps, but one Brewers person telling anonymously The Athletic, this is not fair. And they say, it would not be fair. We would, or we should, forfeit the last game on Sunday and not use pitchers in game 162.
Yeah, I agree. I entirely agree with that. If you're the Mets, you would really love to have that Monday off. You would really
Absolutely.
Love to not have to play guys, to not have to fill out a roster for two full MLB games and then fly back to Milwaukee or fly out to the West Coast for that matter and end up playing the Padres or somebody like
we
that.
We did ask Matt Arnold about it and what he thought of the doubleheader, and he was like,
diplomatic.
Yeah, very diplomatic.
I mean, there's all kinds of crazy scenarios right now, you know, so we're going to be prepared for our opponent, whoever it is. But right now, I mean, mainly we're just focusing on ourselves.
So now it's all about setting up your pitching.
That's the right answer from your Brewers general manager.
Right,
but
right.
Like, I'd like if we were just talking to him after, if he's like, no, it's crap. And it's crap also because we fans here in Milwaukee, and I've made this point before, we made the decision to fund a ballpark that has a roof. Far
sure.
more expensive than what they did over in Minnesota. They built a new stadium just after us. And no roof over there. And they have games snowed out.
Well, and they also could have moved those games, those Atlanta games, and they
right?
didn't. The Braves didn't want to do that. And they probably should have been forced to, whether they play in Texas or even come up here and play at
yeah.
MFAM. They should have played those games.
So we decided as a fan base that we were willing to throw in and to fund a state-of-the-art retractable roof on our ballpark.
Yep.
It's a competitive advantage for us in Milwaukee, and I want to take advantage of it. And this is why. so our guys don't have to play doubleheaders as often, so our guys don't end up in a situation like this where you got two games left to play and they actually count on the Monday, where our guys don't have to travel and play that extra day. I want that competitive advantage. We paid for it. We earned it.
Do you hear that? What is that? Ah, it's a little Brewers buzz. That's what it is. Stay up on that rise. Here we go. Stay up on that rise. Never come down. Stay up on that rise. Stay up on that rise. Never come down. Mama said.
At 8:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Just want to keep this in front of you. Milwaukee Public Schools is still in violation of state law, as they have not come up with even a plan to put cops back in the schools. Madam Board President, how about an update?
Not at the present time.
Not at the present time. Marva Herndon is the president of the Milwaukee School Board. She was recorded by TMJ4 News at Thursday's meeting. Remember how we got here. MPS kicked school resource officers out of the buildings in the wake of George Floyd in 2020. Deal was made. A law was passed. It was signed by Governor Tony Evers, which cleared the war for cleared the way for increases in state shared revenue to Milwaukee, as well as allowing the city to implement a sales tax, which it desperately wanted. But there was some negotiation. City didn't like it. MPS didn't like it. But part of the deal, which is now state law, is that MPS needed to put school resource officers, or SROs as they're often called, back in the schools. And they still haven't done it. They're just not doing it. Even Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson recently saying MPS has to do this. TMJ4's Megan Lee then goes to the meeting, pressed the board president as they're now going into closed session here.
When can we expect an update about SROs, considering it is state law that you guys have SROs?
We're going into a meeting now, and we have an extensive agenda, and we are prepared to do that at the present time.
So no update on that.
All right.
And you got to give people room to implement programs and to do it right. I get that. But like she said, it's been 10 months and it's the law.
And MPD says they're good to go.
Yeah, they're ready to go. City says it's ready to go and they should do this. And they're just not doing it. Meanwhile, also, MPS still delinquent on financial records. Remember after the revelation of the big fiscal meltdown that cost the superintendent his job, State Department of Public Instruction withheld some funding for MPS, that MPS needed to come up with a corrective action plan. And at least one lawmaker is starting to make some noise about this. State Senator Van Weingard, in a news release earlier this month, said MPS has missed yet another deadline in filing the required corrective action plan. It was due earlier this month. Late homework again at MPS. Here's Weingard's quote. According to the corrective action plan, Department of Public Instruction has monitored the progress in filing this report 24 times over the last 3 months. MPS hasn't filed. We've had no updates other than they're working on it. Weingard goes on to say, working on something and getting something accomplished are two different things. Where's the urgency? Where's the accountability? Where are the consequences?
Now, is it possible, though, the district is working with the state and it's saying, hey, look, obviously there's deadlines we're not going to hit, but here's where we're at. Here's where our progress is at this point. We're not going to rush something just to rush it.
Right.
Is that possible?
It sounds exactly like what's happening here. I'm not questioning that it's not being like, they didn't just put it. They just put it on a shelf and say, nah.
Right. And I'm talking about the finance. I'm not talking about the SRO thing.
But either way, like, what, progress has to be made.
Right.
And this stuff isn't, it's just an open violation of both agreements and, in one case with the SRO, state law. And it's just getting a shoulder shrug. Meh. Just not doing it. And they're not doing it because they don't want to do it. So at some point, something has to give. 844 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Pancake breakfast is next.
Eight 46 on Wisconsin's Morning News. It's a Friday. We spent the week talking about what should be in Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric, Greg Pancake Hill, and I, who produces the program, Greg does, go upstairs and say what should be in, what should be out, and a lot of good stuff doesn't quite make it. So we ask Greg Pancake Hill to whip up a little something with the leftovers. Here's the pancake breakfast special.
What about breakfast?
I've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
So sometimes around the office, on the air, too, we've
had a few. Let's call them, we have journalistic tropes, or things that we find in the news that we find funny, right? Now, what does that mean? You may have heard us make fun of this before, right? What's our favorite one? All eyes on something, right? When the Chiron says, yes. All eyes.
Lazy.
You have a few more that overused. That come to top of mind. I have breaks their silence, as if the silence was something highly regarded off a story that broke the day previous. So that's one of mine.
Picking up the pieces.
Ooh, that's a great one. Okay.
After the storm.
Okay,
whatnot.
Of course.
The community's on edge.
Ooh, on edge is fantastic. All right.
Parents' worst nightmare.
Yeah, we can keep going, right? You can go going forever. But I got a new one for you. This is my favorite. This isn't necessarily a trope of a producer of a lower third or anything. This is a character that we get on the news. We don't get a lot of it, right? Because it's really not popular to the Milwaukee area, yet it's very fun to have. Who am I talking about? Oh, I'm talking about Surfer Guy interviewed on the news.
Oh, bro, it's just like... Dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude.
Yeah, right. I saw the motion you make. That one's coming, too. So now, Surfer Guy, who's been on the news, usually provides some pretty sweet sound bites, right?
You just drop in and just smack the lip.
Right. So yeah, Vince Vitrano likes that one. Exactly. And there's plenty of
solid
other
vine.
Surfer Guy interviews out there.
Smash, smash, oh, yeah. Smash.
Okay, now some with maybe more questionable past, but a Surfer Guy, nonetheless. Right?
And then after that, you just drop in. Just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted like that.
So we've got a new Surfer Guy in the news. I introduce you to 62-year-old Gnarly Charlie. He is a famous surfer in the Florida area. He wears bright colors. He has a podcast. He has merch line of kind of like a Milverine for Florida, if I could best relate it to our area.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Now, Gnarly Charlie, though, he's not doing too good. Charlie had a run-in with a shark.
I've been stung by some nasty... jellyfish before, I've just various things, lots of surfboard accidents.
Yeah, great start. All right, so I mean, years worth of surfing, you're bound to experience some injuries, right? Not necessarily the safest of sports out there, that being surfing. So he's out one day surfing on his way back into shore, well, stepped on a shark.
By the time I even thought twice about it, it just, bam, it lit me up, man. I felt like I stuck my foot in a light socket.
Very descriptive. Kind of like this cat.
I like this guy.
So we talk about being descriptive in radio, right? Gnarly Charlie, his injury in his words.
You couldn't see them. There were perfect little slices in my leg. Every one of them just opened up like a flower and blew blood out, man. It was so gnarly.
Just gnarly, man. So he has these teeth gash marks in his leg, right? What's awesome, though, is he takes the string that, you know, you attach to your ankle that attaches to the surfboard so you do not lose the surfboard while surfing, used that as a tourniquet, wrapped his leg wound, and then he went to the hospital. Now, important detail about going to the hospital is how he got there.
Well, who took you to Avatar?
I just drove myself.
You drove yourself?
I know. That's what they said at the hospital.
That's... So, Gnarly
they
Charlie.
Said when I got here.
Indeed, yeah. So he's very popular amongst the hospital staff. So, just when you're thinking getting bit by the shark is the worst part, you aren't thinking like a surfer. The biggest tragedy here, Gnarly Charlie's 148 straight day of surfing streak has been snapped. It's been ended due to the shark attack. He got bit on Sunday. He didn't go out on Monday. It's just a tragedy. So when exactly can we start a new streak, right? You're told, I'm sure your doctors at OAW tell you all the time, when's your recovery time? And how do you react to that, Vince? Do you listen to them? Do you trust your doctors?
Nah, you're like, nah, I'm good.
Of course. Hey, listen, that's what Gnarly Charlie did. So the timeline is 6 to 8 days. Charlie's response?
3 to 4. Don't always listen to doctors, though.
Always listen to the doctor. I'll make sure you get that out there in public knowledge. So there it is. I have another added news trope that is quickly becoming one of my favorites. And now I can't wait for the next time we get a Surfer Guy interview.
It was so gnarly.
Because they really are one of the 7th wonders of the journalistic world.
3 to 4. Don't always listen to doctors, though.
Always listen to your doctors, kids.
Breaking news on Porny McChancellor. That's up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drakamp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Decent enough day today. Filtered sunshine. High of 74 at the lake, 77 inland for the weekend. Temperatures in the low to mid 70s both Saturday and Sunday. Just Saturday has a slight chance of a shower.
Following some breaking news, a couple of different items breaking in the past half hour here. First off, some sad news in the world of acting. Dame Maggie Smith, the actress,
She was known for many different films. Downton Abbey, also the TV show.
Well, you and I differ when it comes to the importance of things. Does it ever get cold on the moral high ground?
She was great on that show. Maggie
Harry
Smith.
Harry Potter also,
and she
right?
was also in Harry Potter. She
Harry
died
Potter.
This morning, 89 years old. So that's one breaking story. The other one has to do with your favorite chancellor.
Get to it. Porny McChancellor.
Anyway.
Greg looked at me and he's like, what? Oh.
That. The Board of Regents was to meet yesterday and today. On the agenda for today was what to do with Joe Gao, the former chancellor of La Crosse, who had posted porn online with his wife. He had lost his chancellorship, but he wanted to continue to teach. He wanted to remain on the tenured faculty. This morning, unanimously, the board has voted to terminate Joe Gao.
You can expect legal action to follow. He's hinted as
he's
much.
He told us that, too, that he could legally go after this if he were to be fired. And he was. He was in attendance this morning with his wife at UW Parkside in Kenosha, where the meeting took place this morning. Took about 30 minutes before they're like, oh, you're gone.
Boy, I sure hope there's legal action, because I'd hate to stop talking about this. 8:57, the Political Power Hour with WTMJ's Steve Scafidi up next.
We're thrilled to have the one and only Will Pounder on our show.